Moving right through hour number two, we are joined right now by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He's coached in the NFL for the past 13 seasons. He was named running backs coach on January 24th, 2018. He was named offensive coordinator on October 29th, 2018. He was named head coach on January 12th, 2019. The Browns coming off a 7-8-1 season. We are joined by their head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Freddie, it's great to have you on the show. Nice to have you. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing great, coach. I'm doing great. So you were named head coach on Saturday. What was the first week of being an NFL head coach like for you?
I'll tell you, we spent the first week just trying to get our staff together, which is, I think, the most important part of being a head coach, especially for the first time, is surrounding yourself by good people, good coaches, and good teachers. So that's what we've been trying to do.
You know, I know you're looking for a good teacher because you've talked about it yourself, and I'll get to that in a minute. Look, I got to be honest. I'm not supposed to play favorites. They don't pay me to cheer or to pick favorites. But I've taken a liking to you because of a lot of things that you say. You said something that I thought was outstanding. You said, quote, "Cleveland and I get along well." It's a great statement. What is it about you and that city that makes it such a good fit?
It's just simply, Jim, one of the things is, you know, I grew up down the street from a steel mill, and I saw the smokestack and the white smoke billowing out of it every day of my life, you know, growing up. And I almost moved to Akron. My dad worked for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and almost moved to Akron. One of those times he was laid off. And, you know, so just, I don't know, just the environment, the community here is just a lot like I grew up in, just hardworking people that are just trying to get better.
Freddie Kitchens joining us. I'm glad you mentioned your dad. You mentioned that he was a tire maker at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Plant in Gadsden, Alabama. You also referenced that Benjamin E. May said that those who start behind the game in life must run faster to catch up. And I feel like I've been running fast my whole life. I mention that again because, Freddie, a lot of people in your situation, it seems to me, might feel like they started behind and they can't catch up. You didn't just catch up. You ran by everybody. How do you explain it? Where did that motivation and that drive come from?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with chance, Jim, you know, and the opportunity and things like that. You never know when your opportunity is going to come. But under no circumstances did I ever want the opportunity to come the way it did. But, you know, you've got to make the most of any opportunity you get. And I tried to do that. But the kicker to that is you have to be ready and prepared for it when you get it because you don't ever know when it's going to come. You know, so that's the way it went.
You know, the kicker was, Freddie, that maybe it wasn't going to come. I mean, you referenced this also in the presser, but after your playing career at Alabama ended, you were in Tuscaloosa, you were selling cars, you were doing really well, making a lot of money, and then on top of that, you had a side hustle going on, you were washing FedEx trucks on the weekend, and you would listen to Alabama football on the radio to the point where it nearly brought you to tears. I mean, what were those days like, and when did you first make the decision, I'm doing fine, but I've got to be back in football. Football's a part of my life.
Well, really, it just came about. A guy by the name of Rick Trickett was the offensive line coach at Auburn, and Terry Bowden had just gotten fired. And I was sitting at home watching the news and saw where he got the job, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give coaching a whirl. And I did. I loved it. And, you know, like I said the other day, it never was the fact I wanted to be a football coach. It's just I couldn't live without the game of football. It's just an empty feeling. You know, inside, you know, I think some players and coaches, when they retire, they have that feeling. It's not necessarily the game, it's the camaraderie you build and thing of the locker room is the essence of everything.
Freddie Kitchens, my guest, he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So you start coaching at Division II Glenville State in Glenville, West Virginia. What were those days like?
Oh, still to this day, I don't know if I've had as much fun coaching in my life. You know, one red light in the county. A couple of restaurants, picked up rocks on the field before you started practice so no one got hurt. You know, it was the mecca of college football at the time for me. So it was great. Made a lot of great people. And, again, worked for Rick Trickett, which I also followed LSU after that for Coach Saban.
All right, some other guys you mentioned also, Gene Stallings, Sylvester Croom, Woody McCorvey. These are the types of guys that showed you the game of football. They showed you that it's more than just the X's and O's. What did you learn from them about being a coach?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, this is a people business, Jim, and anybody that thinks anywhere any different, they're wrong. You know, you have to find what makes players tick. To do that, you've got to find what makes the person tick. And that's what, you know, I've always tried to do. You've got to build relationships. You got to earn trust and respect. Trust and respect is going to be the cornerstone of everything we do here. And to get that trust and respect now, you've got to be able to have tough communications with people at times and talk about topics that players and people don't want to talk about. And so to do those, that requires the trust. And you earn trust by getting to know the person, you know, and get to know the person, you've got to talk to them about more than just the power. You know, you got to talk to them and about their life and their families and what's important to them. Everybody's got something important to them. You got to figure out what it is.
Freddie Kitchens joining us, and this is why the word that keeps coming up when people describe you is authentic. So how important is that as a head coach? I mean, you play the game, so you know. How important is it as a head coach that your players know that you are authentic? You know, not that kind of bull crap where you pretend to be authentic, but you are authentic and the connection is real.
Well, I don't know what the, you know, Jim, honestly, I don't know what the big deal is about that. I thought that's what you were supposed to be as a person and as a coach and anything you do. I don't see the big deal in that. I didn't learn any other way other than to be authentic. And, you know, I don't know how to go about things any differently.
That's great. No extra credit for doing what you're supposed to do. No extra credit for being authentic. So
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Freddie Kitchens, my guest. Now, the work that you and Baker Mayfield did was really amazing in the sense that it wasn't just amazing, it was unprecedented given that you took over midseason. How do you explain the fact that the two of you were able to get on the same page so quickly and be as productive as you were so quickly?
Well, again, I think it started with trust. You know, for someone to trust you, they have to know that you have their best interest in mind. And once they know that, then they know you're not going to BS them or anything from a standpoint of doing something that maybe affects you a little more than them. I mean, at the end of the day, the game of football, sometimes coaches forget that the game of football is played by the players. It's not by the coaches. So everything you do has to is going to impact the player either negatively or positively. And hopefully we're doing it more positively around here than anything else.
All right, so as one quarterback looking at another quarterback, when you look at Baker Mayfield, what do you see? What makes him so unique?
It's all the intangibles. You know, everything, you look at the kid, and he's not supposed to be as good as he is. And it's all the intangibles, and that's the things you can't judge. There's been plenty of guys that's come through the league and even in college, and you see them in high school ball all over the place that have tremendous talent. And the thing that separates those guys are the intangibles, the toughness, the competitiveness, the work ethic, all the little things that you can't judge by going to Indianapolis at the combine.
Freddie Kitchens, my guest for another moment or so. Freddie, I want to ask you about something that happened in 2013 when you were with the Cardinals, and one day you were feeling dizzy. The story goes that Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton called the trainers over, and you were taken to the ER. It was discovered that you had a tear in your aorta. What do you remember about that day and the impact it had on you and your family?
Well, I really remember everything about it. You know, it was just kind of a weird experience, you know, knowing that what could happen. But, you know, if you're laying in a situation like that, Jim, and you don't really – I know me personally, I don't think you ever – you're not thinking about the things you regret doing. You're more so thinking about the things that you regret not doing. And what I got out of that situation more than anything was how I may have meant – what I may have meant to other people. And, you know, ever since that day, you know, I don't think you want to go to bed at night or you know, you never know. You never know when the last time you're going to see someone is. So they need to know how you feel about them. And they need to know, you know, they're going to know you well enough you're having that conversation to begin with. So make sure they know how you feel about them.
Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens, my guest. So everybody got a chance to see what the Browns offense looked like under you. What is that entire Browns team going to look like under Freddie Kitchens? What do you want people to think of when they think of the Cleveland Browns going forward?
Well, hopefully we go out and play with a lot of passion and energy and toughness. Those are things that require no ability whatsoever. And then we'll try to take everybody's skill set, see what they do well, and do that. I thought that was part of coaching. But, you know, and that's all we did in the second half of the season was do those things, and, you know, it worked. But, again, it all goes back to the player. The player has to be willing to accept teaching, accept learning, accept the work and stuff that it takes to put in just to get to the game on Sunday, and then you have to be able to perform. And everything always goes back to the player. We're just the mechanism of delivering the means to get it done.
He's coached in the NFL for the past 13 seasons, now gets an opportunity to be a head coach with the Cleveland Browns. My guest, Freddie Kitchens. Freddie, I know you get a lot of requests, a lot of media requests. I really appreciate you saying yes to this one. Great to have you on this show, and really nice to talk to you, Freddie.
Yes, sir. You too, Jim. Take care of yourself, buddy.
You too. Coach, great talking to you. You take care of yourself. I appreciate you. Freddie Kitchens, I appreciate the hell out of him. I did before the conversation, and now even more. Browns fans, you got to feel good about that. You have to like what you hear. That's America's team, and that is America's coach right there. They're coming off a 7-8-1 season, and he made really clear, you know, that's nothing to be happy about. That's nothing to be excited about. We have a plan. We're headed in the right direction, but we need to be better than 7-8-1. And notice he was not, was the moment not bigger than him, he didn't seem to understand what the big deal was about any of that. I love the answer about, I'm not really sure why everybody's making a big deal out of me being, quote, authentic. I thought we were all supposed to be authentic. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Honest, authentic, straight up. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Shoot straight. Love it.